So, can you hand me this clicker, please? That's one of the instructions I failed to. Okay, so the first thing I want to share with you, Muslims are growing rapidly all over the world, including America and Europe. It is estimated that between 25 and 30% of world populations are Muslims. Most of the Muslims in the world do not understand the gospel. Their questions about the Christian faith and God never been answered in a way they can understand. And I'll give you an example. Muslims say, you Christians believe that Jesus is the Son of God. How can you expect us to believe that God watched his son being murdered and did nothing to rescue him? No. That your faith does not make any sense. So we know from 1 Peter chapter 3 that God wants us to be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks us for the hope that we have, and we do this with gentleness and respect. So we know that Muslims consider Abraham as a great prophet, and they are commanded to take his life as an example to follow. And the Quran, interestingly, recorded so much of God's command to Abraham to sacrifice his son. And Abraham actually obeyed and tried to sacrifice his son, but God stopped him. We ask Muslims, you consider Abraham a great prophet, a great father? And Muslims say, of course he is. How can you explain that one day Abraham was taking his son in one hand and a knife to butcher him with the other? And Muslims will start now thinking, considering even their own beliefs. And you can help him discover, wouldn't you agree with me that if Abraham was willing to sacrifice his son to God, then he proved that he has perfect sacrificial love toward God? Usually Muslims will agree, even if they don't agree loudly, they agree in their mind. Yeah, of course he proved that. He was willing to sacrifice his son to God. And we tell Muslims, that's exactly what God wants you to discover about his love. Because we read in the gospel, you open the gospel, the word of God, in Romans 5:8, God manifested, demonstrated his own love toward us while we were yet sinners. Christ died for us. And, you know, you can go on, and I'll give you an example. Would you agree with me that because Abraham was willing to give his son to God, then he proved beyond any doubt that he is willing and ready to give God everything and anything he has, because his son is the most precious thing to his heart? Muslims will usually say, of course. And we tell Muslims, that's exactly what God wants you to discover. Because we read about God in Romans 8:32, he who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all, how will he not also graciously give us all things? So now we help Muslims not only to get answer to their questions, but actually we used their questions, their objections, to make a more powerful presentation of Jesus than any normal presentation would have achieved. See, the challenge is most of the Muslim people never heard the logic, the reasons, the evidence, the beauty, the power, the depth of the Christian faith. So they have the right to get the best chance to understand God's love and Jesus. Okay, now, we know that in Genesis 12, God told Abraham, I will bless you, and through you, all the families of the earth will be blessed. Underline the word all. And we know from Genesis 17 that God promised Abraham to bless Ishmael. As for Ishmael, I have heard you. I will surely bless him. I will make him fruitful and, you know, greatly multiply, increase his numbers. And we know that when God gave Abraham circumcision as the sign of the covenant, Abraham took Ishmael and they both were circumcised together, same day. And we know the Bible record in Genesis, God was with Ishmael as he grew up.
Aha!
And in Genesis 16, God promised Hagar to multiply her descendants exceedingly.
Woo!
And we know that Hagar was called Abraham's wife at least one time in the Bible. And actually, Genesis 16, verse 11, God himself, if I didn't do it, you do it like I did. Thank you. Genesis 16, 11, God himself called Hagar's unborn son Ishmael, which means God hears. Genesis 21, God heard Ishmael crying. And we know from Genesis 21, and you know, God heard Hagar's affliction, in Genesis. And we know from Genesis 21 that when Hagar and Ishmael ran out of water in the desert, and Hagar was crying, and she said, I don't want to see the boy die, God showed up, and he told Hagar, do not be afraid. I heard Ishmael crying. Lift up Ishmael and hold him by your hand. I will make into him a great nation.
Wow.
And God opened Hagar's eyes. She saw a well of water, and God personally saved their lives.
Wow.
You know, I used to work as a defense lawyer in Egypt, and then I repented. God called me to come here. But God told me, long time ago, this is an evidence, this proves that Ishmael's birth was not just merely a mistake Abraham made. No, because if it were just a mistake, God could have let them die. Easy. But when God intervened, personally saved their lives, and said these wonderful, gentle words, God proved his love and his wonderful eternal plans for Ishmael. And we know from 1 Chronicles that Ishmael's name and his first two born sons' names, Kedar and Nebaioth, were carefully recorded in genealogies of the holy text. 1 Chronicles, chapter 1. And we know, so focus with me now. This is very important now. Focus with me. In Genesis 21, we know that the Arab people came from Kedar, one of Ishmael's sons. Kedar and Nebai, the Arab people came from Kedar. Why this is important? Because in Isaiah 60, God said, all Kedar's flocks will be gathered to you. The rams of Nebaioth will serve you. They will be accepted as offering on my altar. Tan, 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 tan. This is very exciting. I will tell you why this is very exciting, significant prophecy. Are you paying attention? Thank you. Thank you. The time God inspired the prophet Isaiah to say these words, actually, you know, I did my research in the biblical commentaries. Actually, Kedar and Nebaioth had been already dead 1,000 years ago. Aha! God was not referring to the person of Kedar and Nebaioth, but rather he was referring to their descendants because they have been already dead 1,000 years ago. So, Arabs and Muslims, according to the prophecies, will be gathered with their families. They will be saved in the day of the harvest. Okay. Now, when God, my church offered a paid position, my wife told me, no, you need to pray before you quit your government job. So I prayed, and God said, no, don't take a paid position with the church. Start a nonprofit ministry so your ministry can be available to all the churches, all the goody churches. So we asked each other, me and my wife, which Bible verse should we put in our letterhead? That was an exciting day. We're going to start a ministry like Billy Graham, Franklin. So immediately God gave us John 10:16. Everybody should get one of that. If you don't have one, get one in your way out. John 10:16. Jesus said, I have other sheep. So I want you to look at that verse. That are not belong to this fold. I must also bring them. They will listen or hear to my voice, and there shall be one flock and one shepherd. And, you know, the flocks of Kedar and Nebaioth will be accepted by God. So God wants his church to know that multitudes of Arabs and Muslims is among those sheep that Jesus said, I must also bring them. Now, it gets better. In Isaiah 19:21, God promised to save Muslims in Egypt, my country. I was there. I am going back again, God willing, in April. Our minister starts supporting missionaries in Egypt. We have a satellite program that reaches Egypt. Why? Because God said the Egyptians will know the Lord. So, you know, we are investing our resources and ministry according to God's will. Isaiah 19:25, God said, blessed be Egypt, my people. Your people, that's what God said, my people. Assyria, the work of my hand. Israel, my inheritance. And we know in Acts 2 that Arabs and the Egyptians were evangelized with their own Arabic language. And we know from Revelation 5 that people in heaven will come from every tribe, every language, all over the world. And do we know that Muslims are growing all over the world? And do we know we got prophecies? And do we got realities? In the past 40, 50 years, more Muslims became Christians than in the past 1,400 years. So, God, you know, talking about the last days, God already started fulfilling the prophecies. In Egypt, alone my country, I know from my close contact with Christian leaders, about 5 million Muslims came to Christ. One of them is my wife. Actually, born and raised as a Muslim, she was studying to become a Muslim teacher in Al-Azhar Islamic University, like Dallas Theological Seminary. And she became born again. She started talking about Jesus. They threw her in prison. Thank God for the American government. They got her out. Okay. Multitudes of Muslims is coming to Christ as we are gathering today. Why? Because God is working. You know, who does the ministry? God is doing it. You remember the Passion of Christ movie? Yes. A big rumor got out there, the movie is anti-Semitic, which made the Muslim people and the Arab people watch the movie. You know, we always want to justify our feelings. And I got reports that they were crying like babies from my Christian friends in the Middle East. God used the Passion of Christ. So God has been working. God used Muslims fighting each other and killing each other to convince them that this is cannot be from God. Because look at the gospel. God is love, and he commanded us to love each other as he loved us, and he commanded us to love our neighbors as we love ourselves. So Islam cannot be from God, because God is not like that. Okay, now I need Mario. Mario's here. I want to share with you a few praise reports just to show you why I am convinced that God is start fulfilling the prophecies already. So we get many exciting praise reports, emails, and phone calls. So I'm going to share with you a few of them. I can't share with you all, but you have the right to know. So I got an email from one of the Calvary Chapel leaders in Africa, very well known, Isaac Wooten, and he said in the email, so I have Mario here as a witness. You are not going to talk, Mario. Okay. For more than 10 years now, we routinely see between 50 and 100 Muslims a year make decision for Christ because we have learned how to reach them and share with them through the chapters of your book. And we lead them to saving faith in Christ. Many are then baptized and joined a local church. We got another email. We tried to get my book, Glad News, God Loves You, My Muslim Friend, which answered their questions. We tried to get it out as much as possible. So we got it to the many universities, and I got email from a full-time Christian minister, Walter Johnston, and he said, Sammy, my Turkish friend Mehmet said that he could consider the Bible and read it after he read Glad News. It showed him that he was allowed to read the Bible. From the Quran, even the Quran told the Muslims, read the Bible. You know, the Bible is the word of God. Can you believe that? After a few months, he got baptized and is now sharing actively to other Muslims while he works on his PhD in the USA. We were all so thrilled, all his team. Thank you for writing the book. Another one I got from one of the ex-directors, leaders of Voice of the Martyrs, Pastor David Waite. Now he has his own ministry. He sent me an email. I am glad to share with you wonderful news of your book, Glad News, God Loves You, My Muslim Friend, Impacting Lives in North Africa. I was able to send them one Arabic Glad News to share with the MBB, Muslim Background Believers. This was a good encouragement to the work. Our MBB contact emailed us a month later saying this one book had traveled the nation. Of course, he's exaggerating. And two Muslims accepted Christ as Lord and Savior. Now they are requesting 500 books. Of course, we put the book in our website in Arabic and in Farsi. The last email from Pastor David Witt, your book has made the Mauritanian news. So the Mauritanian government discovered when Muslims read Glad News, God Loves You, My Muslim Friend, in Arabic, they start reading the Bible seriously, and they get born again. So they put in the newspaper a copy of my book in Arabic and a copy of the Bible and warned the millions of Muslims in Mauritania and North Africa not to read these two books. I was jumping, you know. Said, oh, great, you're giving me the best advertisement for the book. Giving you an idea. And the book traveled the nation. What does that prove to you? Muslims are thirsty people drinking from salty water. Not yet. No, no. Oh, that's okay. That's okay. Let it go. Let it go. That's okay. That's okay. Let it play. Let it play. That's okay. You are the...
No. But it's hard to answer some of his questions concerning the Old Testament and the New Testament. And I would love to know what to do, what kind of format to go through.
Pastor Chuck Smith, my pastor. That's me.
As a Muslim religion. And he's written the book titled God Loves You, My Muslim Friend. And many Muslims have been converted after reading this book. So I would suggest if you want to give your friend something that would really help him, because it takes the Muslim beliefs and it sort of takes the Bible and sort of shows comparisons and so forth.
You still need me?
I would recommend that you give him this book by Sammy Tanaho. God loves you, my Muslim.
Thank you, Thomas, so much. So next slide. No, before the next slide, let me complete maybe a couple more testimony. Our mission pastor at Calvary Chapel Costa Mesa was a missionary in Europe. So he sent me email many years ago, Pastor John Chubek, and he said, we gave your book to Iraqi lawyer. He had been very dedicated Muslim. After we gave him a copy of your book, the lawyer had read your book. He had become a Christian, Pastor John Chubek. See? Yeah, so don't... I got an email from a Christian Iranian lady. We did the book in Farsi. And she said, my father is Iranian, was raised in the Muslim religion. Over the years, he has had many questions, which my husband and I had done our best to answer. When I got hold of your book in Farsi, I was so excited to share it with him. About a month later, as he and I spoke, he couldn't stop telling me how much he loved the book. He finally understands, you see, understanding the difference between the Quran and the Bible. I am so thankful for your book because I know it has answered so many of his questions and giving him clarity. I am blessed to say he considered himself a Christian. So, hold your applause, glory go to God. Another email, I spoke at Calvary Chapel Tallahassee many times, and I left, the believers took so many books, and then one of them gave a book to a lady from Lebanon, Muslim lady, her name is Malak. So she started emailing me. I'm a Muslim. I have always been a Muslim. Since I read this book, I fell in love with God. I am now happier than before, and the last email, thanks for helping me experience and enjoy God's love and salvation. That's a letter from Chuck Smith, because many Muslims came to the church, shook his hand, and told him, thank you for the ministry. I miss Chuck, he was my biggest supporter. Antioch Calvary Chapel, the pastor, still Pastor Aaron sent me email. It was amazing to find out that Leo, one of our worship team, actually gave his life to Christ and got saved out of Islam 5 years ago, literally after reading a copy of your book. And the Sunday you came to share, a Muslim man by the name of Aaron gave his life to the Lord. This one is from year 2000, before 9/11. And it read, several of our Kosovo team members, as a direct result of your book, one of our team members was able to welcome two new believers into the kingdom of God. I don't want to take the time. This one from a lady that her parents from Calvary Chapel Red Cross, the secretary, the mother gave the book to a salesman selling a car. My mom had already read your book, and my mom gave him your book, I think a salesman. I don't want to read the whole email. He later emailed my parents informing them of his decision to Christ. Yeah, when she was buying a truck. So this is, I can't read all the emails. I'd rather focus more on the word of God. But you got the point. Thank you so much, Mario. Thank you, Mario. So now, of course, glory to God, go to God, because God is the one who is doing the ministry. The book in 13 languages and the book through believers like you is getting out, and God is providing divine appointment for Americans to give the book to other Christians or to Muslims. God doing the ministry. Okay, now, when you see a Muslim, this is my wife's testimony. Oh, by the way, I have a few DVDs of my wife's testimony if you want to get one. Now, when you see a Muslim, tell him, Salam alaikum. Can you say that? Very good. It means peace be upon you. Now, we know, and give him the book. You don't have to even talk too much. Why God is working to save Muslims and save so many other people, Buddhists and Hindus? Because God is love. He loves all people. And the Bible told us God wants all people to be saved. God loves people. He finds his greatest pleasure in having a relationship with somebody that doesn't know him, including Muslims. And the greatest commandment is to love God with all our heart, soul, and mind, and to love our neighbors as we love ourselves. And the best act of love that we can do to our neighbors and to Muslims is to help them enjoy God's love and salvation. Okay, so now we come to, I want to move on. We don't have time for this. Salam alaikum, peace be upon you. Muslims are frightened from God. I was giving a lecture in Mississippi State University engineering department, and one of the Muslim engineers told me, I am a Muslim, I am not frightened from God. I told him, oh, because you don't know the facts. Muhammad was frightened from God, and he did not know where he is going. And his companion, the closest people to him, was frightened. And he told me, if you have the reference, the evidence in your book. I told them, of course, I was a defense lawyer. I put all the best evidence. It took me 8 years to put it together. He said, I'll buy your book. I told him, no, it's my gift to you. We only sell it to Americans. Yeah. You know, somebody has to pay for it, you know. You know, Muslims are ripe for the Gospels. I proved it to you. God wants to equip you. Make no mistake about it. God wants to equip his church. Make you ready. First Peter, I already mentioned that. Ephesians 4, God gave the church pastors and teachers. Why? To equip the church to do the works of the ministry. And now, I want to share my story with you. Most of our clients, I used to work for my father in his legal firm. Most of our clients were drug dealers and criminals. I never met an innocent client. And so imagine what I had to do as a defense lawyer to help them get out of prison. A little bit of hiding the truth, knowing that they are guilty, but helping them to become innocent, and using something wrong with the arrest or the search, and God convicted me. You know, I used to tell God, what can I do? This is my job. I can't leave my father. I have to make my father happy. And God said, no. Look at Moses in Hebrew 11. So I was reading Hebrew 11, and God said, by faith, that Moses, when he grew up, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. It choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the passing pleasures of sin. So Moses thought about it, and he considered suffering for the sake of God, for the sake of the Messiah, is greater riches than all the treasures of Egypt. And the Bible ends with, because he was looking forward to his reward. Smart guy, like the Apostle Paul. He's thinking and counting everything. So Jesus said, if you try to keep, before I forget. So God told me, leave Egypt by faith, come to America. 1980. So I came to America, and God guided me to Calvary Chapel Costa Mesa. 1982. I did not even know English or the difference between churches. And I studied for the California bar exam and English for so many years. I was going to be a lawyer again. But my wife told me, no, God brought us together. Can't you see why? I am an ex-Muslim. I want my family to know Jesus. Muslims are deceived. We need to help them. And God talked to you about Moses. I told her, listen, I need to get back my career. My family is laughing at me. And I'm sorry. After I become a lawyer, we can talk about the ministry. She said, no, we need to start preparing from now. I told her, there is no ministry to Muslims. Nobody cares about Muslims. That was 1992 or 93. And she said, it doesn't matter. You need to pray to find out what God wants you to do with your life. So I started praying, knowing that she is wrong, of course, to leave my legal career. No, my father is a lawyer. My grandfather is a defense lawyer. My older brother, chief judge of the Supreme Court. Most of the family, doctors, lawyers. So I don't want to be working in a restaurant for the rest of my life. I was working as a waiter for so many years while studying. So she said, pray. So I started praying. Thank God. And thank God, he guides us when we are sincere. So God told me, your wife is right. I didn't like to hear that. I told God, why you didn't tell me that directly before she tell me that? He actually answered me. He said, because she prays more than you. But now she cannot do that to me. I pray now as much. Anyway, I told God, how can I waste all my legal training and my education? And God said, there is no waste. You're going to use your ability to do the best research and to collect the evidence and to answer Muslim questions in the best way humanly possible. You are going to use your mind, but for me, not for you. Not for your prestige or not to make a lot of money. And you need to be grateful that I brought you a wife like that. Yeah. I told God, okay. I told God, okay, that makes sense. I went to the bookstore, Christian bookstore. There is nothing in the bookstore that answer Muslim questions. And God opened my eyes. Muslims are thirsty people drinking from salty water. And God said, start doing the research. So I went to a weekend prayer meeting. And after I prayed, he told me, what can we do for you? Open door ministry. And I told them, I think God wants me to do a book, write a book, but I am a waiter. I don't have a computer. I don't know how to type. English is my second language. One of the prayer team told me, I am an editor. I will edit your book. And I told her, who's going to put it in the computer? She said, you spoke at Calvary Chapel East Anaheim, Pastor Bob Gobonet, and there is a geologist, the manager of the bookstore, Richard Frizzle, will put your book in the computer because he believed in your calling. That was before 9/11. So the book was written by God's grace and the help of American Christians, and Chuck helped me, and we printed it, and Chuck asked me to speak in many of the Calvary chapels, wrote a letter. So God is doing it. All that, I want to bring you to a very important words Jesus said in Mark 8. Jesus said, if you try to keep your life for yourself, you will lose it. Guaranteed. You will lose it. And you're going to die miserable. But he continued and said, but if you give up your life for my sake and for the sake of the good news, you will find the true life. Remember that. And Jim Elliot, one of the greatest missionary ever lived, he said, he is no fool to lose that which he cannot keep, to gain that which he cannot lose. Jim Elliot. Now, this is very important verse. God told us, how can they call on the name of the Lord to save them unless they heard about him? And how can they believe without hearing? And how can they hear without you and me, a preacher? Very important. It's like God is almost, I'm not going to push this, but it's almost saying to us, how can you expect them to believe in Jesus and have eternal life if they never heard about him? It's not fair. And not only hear, understand also. I remember. You remember the parable Jesus gave in Matthew 13? Some seed fell on the wayside, and Jesus described it on the lives of people that did not understand. Read that, Matthew 13. It was easy for Satan to snatch away the word of God that was sown in their lives. Why? They did not understand it. Did not make any sense. Now, Muslims are God-conscious people. Trust me. They believe that there is one supreme being created heaven and earth and created them. But they don't know who God is. You know, they remind me of Cornelius. You remember Cornelius in Acts 10? He was described as a man who believed in God and who used to pray to God. He knew that there is a creator. And actually, the angel told Cornelius, God remembered your prayers and everything good you are doing. And God told Peter, go tell Cornelius about Jesus. But before God can use Peter, God needed to help Peter overcome his prejudice, you remember, about people and a man like Cornelius. Why this is important? Because Satan used politics and wars and terrorist actions, attack by Muslims, and he penetrated our hearts and minds, and he managed to put negative feelings and thoughts toward the Muslims. You tell me, Sammy, how do you, why you are saying that? I am saying that from education. I teach a mission class every year called Lesson 9 in Perspectives, called Finishing the Unfinished Task. And I read in the materials many years ago that 99.7% of the resources God gave his church in America is being spent where the church already exists and growing, where there is also, where there is Bible studies and all that. And only 0.3% is spent to extend the reach of the church. Only 0.3% is spent to reach the unreached people groups. Unreached people groups mean people groups that don't have a local church among them. Now, Muslims are the largest unreached people group in the world. Okay? So, Romans 10 is very applicable. How can they believe unless they hear? The church need to reach Muslims. And Muslims wants to gain God's forgiveness. I know, I was born and raised with them. And wants to have peace with God. And wants to know that God accepted them. And they are going to go to spend the eternity with God. But they don't know how. They think it's by performing religious rituals. Now, so that's why Jesus said, the harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Matthew 8. Now, no. No, thank you. Pass it. That's okay. God has been helping us so far. No, Thomas, pass it. Okay, so now I want to share with you quickly before I end what impact, one of the things impacted my life is C.S. Lewis' story he recorded. One of the demons ran to Satan, panicking, and told him, Satan, did you see all these Christians gathering together every week, singing Christian songs to God, studying the Bible and understanding many things? And Satan told him, calm down. Let them sing as much as they want. Let them study as much as they want. As long as we can stop them from taking actions, they can cause no threat to our kingdom. Satan's strategy is to stop you from becoming a born-again Christian. To believe in Jesus, that he paid the penalty for your sins, and to repent. Strategy number two is to stop you from being used by God to help people spend eternity with God. Satan's strategy, and he can stop you by distracting you, even doing good things. He will do whatever it takes to stop you from being used by God to help people spend eternity with God. Because very soon you find out that you are getting old and you haven't done much to help people spend eternity with God, and you're going to die. And yeah, you have a good house, you have this, you have that, but God has not been using your life to help more people spend eternity with God. So I want to close now, because I want to give you a chance to get your kids and all that. And I want to follow Pastor Thomas' instructions for once. But before I end, I want to mention to you something. Taking actions, almost all the Muslims that came to Christ through our ministry, it was not because of me. It was because of believers like you joining me in taking actions. To be honest with you, so I don't get the glory. God gets the glory of using his church. Everything, even writing the book, everything is God using Christian Americans. Remember, Ephesians 4, God gave the church pastors and teachers to equip the church to do the works of the ministry. So who is going to do the works of the ministry? Me or the pastor, Pastor Thomas, Pastor Bill, Becky, Mario, and Rhonda? No, the leaders are not going to do the works of the ministry. The leaders is to equip you and give you a chance, the best chance, to do the works of the ministry. Every child of God has equal opportunity. I'll give you an example. Many years ago, 5-6 years ago, I was invited to teach at Calvary Chapel Bible College in Jerusalem. So I got a surprise invitation from the director, the president of Bethlehem Seminary, for a Middle East buffet and to speak at the seminary. I told him, he said, can you come, please? I told him, absolutely, Middle East buffet, sure. So I went. And I told them, I just want to know why you are so kind to me, why you invited me to speak in the seminary. And he said, listen, you gave us 3,000 copies of your book in Arabic, and we gave them to Palestinian Muslims, and we helped over 100 Palestinian Muslims in the West Bank become Christians. I told them, what? Oh, my God. And they looked at my wife and said, oh, praise the Lord. And I told them, I gave you 3,000 copies. He said, yes. I told them, I did not give you anything. And they said, who gave us the 3,000 copies? I told them, I don't know. Anyway, we changed the topic, and I was glad because I want to enjoy the Middle East food. You know, the grape leaves was great, and the falafel, and the shish kebab. So I told him, we will talk about this later, you know. So after we ate, I told him, listen, before I speak in your seminary, let's get something very clear. I did not give you anything. And he said, who gave it to us? I told him, I don't know. And then I remembered that a Christian American called me and told me, can you give us the right to print your book in Israel? I always say yes, whether the book in Russian or Farsi or whatever. So he said, okay, thank you. How much do you expect us to pay you? I told him, nothing. Print it. Distribute it. So he invested some of his money to print the book in Israel, and God used him. So, I mean, I tell God, I hope you are not going to give all the rewards to this American Christian. I hope I get 25% eternal reward at least. You know, but just to prove to you that God can use anybody, whether through his prayers, whether through getting books, whether through donation. Our average financial partners donate $15 a month above their tithing. 90% of our financial partners. Fill this form and donate $15 a month. If God guided you above your tithing to do that, no pressure, ask God, then you're welcome. It will help us to support more missionaries in Egypt to reach unreached people group. But right now, I want us to end with prayer that God will guide us, continue to guide us, and use us to help reach the unreached Muslim people groups. Of course, I want you to get as many books as you can. And I want you to pray, God, use my life to help more people spend eternity with God. I have the True Love book. I did not bring it, but if you want me to send you the True Love book, I will send it to you to help not Muslims, a non-Christian person know Jesus. Let's pray. Our loving Heavenly Father, God, we cannot express about our gratitude. God, not only you made us your children and living within us, and you are with us every day, every second, helping us to face the challenges of life and the problems of life, but God, you gave us the best opportunity to be your partners and to be used by you to help people and help Muslims spend eternity with you. God, I surrender today my brothers and sisters, my life, the book, everything that will sit today into your hand, God. And we ask you in Jesus' name to use it, God, to produce abundant eternal fruits, even far more than we can imagine, God, or expect. Use us, God. Use your church, God. Use this loving church, this wonderful church, to help so many Muslims enjoy your love and your salvation. In Jesus' name, we pray. Amen.